Good morning, everyone. My name is Giuseppe Magia. I am working with MySQL. I've been working for several years as a community contributor, and then I became a QA developer, and I have a passion for hacks. Thank you. So I was a QA developer for a while, and lately I've been very much involved in community. I mean, community has been always my top priority, but now I have that in my title as well. I don't come from Australia, you may have realized that. I live around the corner of the planet, that's it. So I came from Sardinia, Italy, to Germany, Orlando, Los Angeles, Fiji, Sydney, and Melbourne. And that's about it to talk to you about MySQL proxy. So let's keep the agenda. You will see the slide soon. Proxy. It's a Latin word that means someone taking care of someone else interested. So it's something that you put in between your server and your client to do interesting things. So how does it work? You have your server, you have your client, and the client sends queries to the server. The server answers, and the proxy is in between doing interesting things like intercepting your queries and changing them before sending to the server, or receiving the results and changing them before sending them to the client, or receiving a query pretending to be the server and answering to the client. So the final result of this is that with proxy, you become a superhero. So your database is quite more manageable than before. In practical terms, if you have a feature that you want and the database server doesn't have it because the developers are lazy or they are too busy, they say, okay, we're going to do that in version 9.1, and we are at 5.1 today. You can do it with proxy. So what exactly is this proxy? There is a proxy core that is a C application. And inside this core, there are some hooks. Functions that are ready to accept some modifications from the user. For each hook, you have a corresponding function in a Lua script. The Lua script is what the user does to communicate with the proxy. Now, wait a moment. I say Lua. The first thing that I thought when somebody told me, what is this Lua, was something like this. Now, this is my colleague, Jay Pipes, who is the community manager for North America. I was not talking to him about Lua, but something like that. So this is the impression of the average user when I say proxy works with Lua. And immediately they say, why not Perl, PHP, JavaScript, Python, and anything else. So there is a reason for that. Even though there are more people who know Perl and PHP than Lua, Lua has some advantages. It's small. It's less than 200 kilobytes. If you try to put Perl or PHP in your in a proxy, it will become several megabytes and very difficult to manage. Lua has been designed to be embedded, while Perl and PHP have not. Lua is widely used. I don't know if you know Lite TTPD. It's a small web server which was designed and developed by the same author that created Proxy. So there is one reason more for this. And Lua is very popular among game writers. So if you have used these kind of games, you know that you can manipulate these games using Lua. So you have already the skills to use Proxy. Be aware that Proxy can work now. I know that there are some customers and community users that are using that in production, but this is alpha software. So if you use it, you're on your own. And if something bad happens, you may have some dire consequences. That's another colleague. It's hello, Colin. He used Proxy in production. Okay, I showed you before that there are some hooks and functions, and this is the execution order of these functions inside a Proxy script. If you create a Proxy script and you connect to the server, then you will see that the first function executed is connect server, then read and shake, read authorization result, and finally it starts analyzing your queries and the result of your queries. At the end, when you disconnect, there is a disconnect client function where you can put interesting things to do before disconnecting, like removing the whole database, but don't do that. Okay, so far that was only theory. Let's see some practical examples. From your server, if you are used to MySQL, you know what you can do with a MySQL client. Now we use a script that is called languages.lua. And this is a simple Lua script that instructs the proxy to react to some specific words. So you have a query that instead of select or insert is just hello, and your database server answers. Looks like you are speaking English, good morning. So it's nothing fancy, but it's something that you can do with proxy. You can change the behavior of your server. So when you say hello, instead of getting an error message, you get a greeting. And you can also use different languages. So if you say salve, he recognizes that you're speaking Italian and answers in the same language. The same happens if you say thank you in French, and it answer you're welcome in the same language. Then you can try a different script that manipulates the digits. You can find this script in MySQL Forge right now. What happens when you try to say select 1 plus 1? The proxy intercepts it and it tells you that you cannot count. Now this is bad because database servers are supposed to be counting. So you can instruct the proxy to speak your language again. Now look at this statement. Set SQL mode equals English digits is not something that you can find in the manual. It doesn't exist. It exists and it works, it does something just because there is a script that intercepts the query and tells the proxy to do something specific with that statement. You can see the number 42 rows affected there. This is not something that happens in the database server. Again, this is the proxy doing that. So it's just a little trick that tells you that the proxy is doing something with your strange query. So SQL mode doesn't have a English digits mode, at least not in the manual, not in the SQL standards, but the proxy recognizes it if you put something like that in a script. And after that, surprise, surprise, select 1 plus 1 gives you a result, but not what you expect. It gives you a result in English. And can count even more, select 1 plus 2, 2 not as a number, but as a word, and it says 3. And then also more difficult things, 2 times 6, but it has limits. You see, 3 times 7, it says that cannot count beyond fingers and toes. So this is just a funny demonstration what you can do with proxy just to pretend that you have a different server on the other side. You can do something more interesting, more important. You know that MySQL database doesn't do any shell or any operating system access. Now with proxy you can do it. Now proxy is a Lua application, and anything that you can think of doing with Lua, you can do with MySQL as well. So it happens something like this. You do use the proper script, and then you can run from your MySQL client commands like shell ls astar.lua, and this is your answer. So you have access to the shell of the proxy. However, be aware that this shell is working in the proxy location, not in the server location. So if the proxy and the server are in the same host, that's fine. If the proxy and the server are in different hosts, then you will have the shell access to the proxy only, not to the server. It's a subtle difference that you have to be aware of. It could be very useful if you want to know how much is your application, your database large. Like in this example, the database bugs is 2.3 gigabytes. And again, I can know that because the proxy and the server are on the same host. Be aware that using shell, you can also make incredible disasters. So you can remove all your database with just one command. It's up to you. Everything that is powerful is also dangerous. Yes?
Sorry, the shell functionality, that's just a LuaScript plugin to proxy. It's not an end by default, is it?
Say again?
The shell functionality, it's not something that, is it something that ships with MySQL proxy?
No, it's just a script that you can find on MySQL Forge, and you can play with this, and you can just modify the script to destroy your neighbor's host instead of yours. Mostly, anything you can think of from the command line can be done with this kind of application.
There's a huge yet for MySQL Server that doesn't change the
No, yeah.
Yeah.
The difference the difference between using a UDF and using proxy for this is that the UDF you need to install it. The proxy is completely transparent and it works from on any server from version 4.1 to 6.0. I don't know if it will still work in for version 7, but we will see this next year. For the moment, you know that the proxy is something that you can just put between your server and client, and it will work. You don't need to install anything else. You don't need to compile UDFs, compile plugins. It's ready to use. Now, let's get some inside the proxy itself. If you want to intercept a query, you have to write a function that is called read query. So if your Lua script contains a read query, this function gets executed for each query that goes from the client to the server. In this simple example, we are just printing the query. Now, where is this print? The print happens in the place where you run the proxy. So it will go to the standard output of the terminal shell screen where you launch the proxy. It doesn't go to the client. This is just for the administrator to see. But this is a simple example to show you what you can do to intercept. Proxy has a mechanism to do things more complicated than simply intercepting and printing queries. You can inject queries. Now, inject sounds like a bad word, especially in database lingo where SQL injection is something bad. Now, this is like SQL injection, but the good one. So what is going to happen here? You have a query queue. You see this funnel there? This is a queue of the queries that the proxy will send to the server. So when the proxy receives one query from the client, through the script can just queue several queries to be sent to the server. And you have to assign a different ID to each query in order to be able to manipulate those queries when you get the results. So if you receive one query that says select something from some table, and you want to add one query before and one query after to show some variables, then you have to assign a specific ID to each one to know which is which. Then, when you have when you are reading the results, you know which kind of query you are dealing with. If the ID is one, and this is not a fixed ID, it's something that you assign. You can put one, or you can put 1 million. It's up to you. If ID is one, you know that you were dealing with the original query, and you just send it to the client. If ID is two or three, then you use the results to update your statistics and discard the results. So you don't send the result of this query to the client, but you send only the result of the original query. This is a simple example. There is something more complicated that you can do, but for starters, it will do. So inside the read query, you are appending queries to the query queue. You see in this example, you are using ID 2, ID 1, and ID 3. And query 1 packet and query 2 are query 1 is the query that you use for statistics. Query packet is the original query, and query 2 is another query that you are using for statistics. Then you resolve the special value proxy send query. One important thing to remember when you are injecting queries: there is a function read query result that gives you access to the result. But you get access to this function only and only if you have sent something to the query queue. If you are not sending something to the query queue, this function doesn't kick. Now, in your read query function, you are adding something to the query queue, even if you had only one query. Then, when the return, when the result returns, you will get access to read query result. And that is the point where you can manipulate the result. You can just pass the result to the client, or you can update statistics. You can change the result. You can remove the result completely. You can send back an error message. You have complete freedom. But this will only work if you have sent something to the query queue. If you don't send anything to the query queue, read query result doesn't kick. Multiple times. So if you have multiple queries in the query queue, read query result is called for each query in the query queue. However, inside the read query result, you can clear the query queue. So the if you had several queries in the queue and you decide that you don't want the others, you just clean the query queue and you don't get any more results. So this is what you can do inside the read query result when you have several queries coming. You just decide what to do based on the ID, and then you either return the result to the client or you do something else. If you do something else, you have to send a proxy ignore result to the client, meaning that the client doesn't get any more results than it expects. So if the client sends one query, it will be ready to receive one result. If you try to send five results to the client, the protocol doesn't work well and you get a strange error. Actually, the proxy will complain, but anyway, the client won't understand what is getting from the server, or thinks is getting from the server. You can filter queries, which is like injecting, but without the original. So you are injecting queries, but you're not sending the original to the server. You can decide if the query goes through or not. What you can do when you are working with results, you can decide that the result is fine and you just return that to the client. You can create a new one and return a fake result that looks to the client exactly like any other result that it gets from the server. You can return an error message. For instance, there was a customer a few weeks ago who asked to have a filter to prevent users from running show tables. The problem was that this customer had a database with 60,000 tables. So if you run show tables on that, you will slow down the whole server. So they wanted to prevent the user from that. And I wrote a script that intercepts show tables and returns an error instead. You can alter the original result, so you can rewrite the result. You can fake information. Or you can return something different. For instance, you get you have a query that is a select, and you return the result of an insert, or the other way around. It's dangerous, but you can do it. Yes?
Presumably, you could also plug in such a page there, which is another page result, or as you insert indentation.
You can actually do it, and this is something that someone is already playing with. It's not exactly transaction safe. But there is a way to do it transaction safe, and we are working on it. Now, proxy is powerful, but it's also difficult to work with because you have an additional layer between client and server. So you need to find out what's happening in between when the result is not what you expect. So what can you do? You just put a script in between and use another proxy between the proxy with your application and your client. Something like this. This is a simple debugging. The client uses the proxy, and you send some diagnostic text on the terminal, and you read it. This is simple, but you can do something more complicated. Usually, when you are developing a complex proxy application, you need to know a lot of things that happen between the proxy and the server. So you just put another proxy between the proxy and the server, and this additional proxy will tell you what is going on. You see, this is the beginning of something really cool, and you can get caught in this kind of mechanism, and you will end up creating 100 proxy one after the other, and this will slow down your application. So don't do that, but for debugging is very cool.
What two questions? Can you reload scripts on the fly?
Can you?
Theoretically
not, but in practical terms, yes. I wrote a script that does exactly that. So if you, it's not in the current binaries, but if you get the subversion tree, there is one script that is called load multi that will do exactly that. So you can load a script on the fly, and you can discard it or use several ones at once. It depends on what the script does.
If you had no script at all. But I think in a situation where you might have a MySQL proxy thing between your client and server.
Yeah.
And as you need it, load the debug script and then throw it away once you're done with debugging.
Oh, if you... Okay, I understand. In this case, you get a very low overhead, because this kind of script will just look... It will just check if there is any script loaded, and if there is a script loaded, it will execute it. If there is no script, I mean, it's just a if, so it's very low overhead. So you can do that with the provision that is still alpha, of course. Don't forget that. Like everything else, yes. And, of course, once you have used this for debugging, you can use that also for features. So you can chain proxies to have several features. So if you have one one script that does loops and another script that does cross tabulations, you can just put two proxies, one after the other, and you have both features at your disposal. The performance will not be impressive, but you can do it. Now, this is kind of things that you can do for data warehousing, where you have you don't have a high traffic, but you have heavy queries. So if your purpose is to optimize queries, you can use a proxy script to optimize the query, and you don't care about the overall response time, because data warehouse queries in this context are quite slow compared to OLTP. And you can use proxy for testing to pretend to be a server. We are using this kind of setup to create a proxy that will try to send tricky packets back to the client. And we use this to test connectors or to test applications that for which we don't have very much insight. So if we get applications that for which we don't have the source code, this is one way of testing what can be happening. You can use the proxy for logging. You know that there is the general log, which is a feature that has been around for years, since the early versions of MySQL, but the general log is not very much flexible. In MySQL 5.1, you can have logs on demand, so you can activate or deactivate the logs, and you can also log on tables. Using proxy, you can do something even more. The general log, if you know what how it looks like, will record everything going to the server, but it doesn't record what comes back from the server. So if you send a query with a syntax error, it will be logged, but it will look exactly like any other query. With proxy, you can change that. So you are sending a query to the proxy, drop table T1, and you get this information. Mine bigger than zero on braces means that you are affecting zero rows. Insert into T1 is a mistake. If you're using the general log, you will just get insert into T1, and it looks like a good query. In proxy has the ability of saying, of catching the result from the server, it will tell you that it's an error, and you can log it. If you insert something, you will see that there are two affected rows. If you read two rows, then are two retrieved rows. So you can create your own logs and do whatever you want. Something that fits your needs, instead of trying to parse the general log or inventing something else. Now, this kind of logging is interesting. However, to use it with an existing server, you need to you should change the application to point to the proxy instead to point to the server. The server normally runs on port 3306. The proxy runs on port 4040. If you don't want to change the application, you have a trick that you can do with IP tables on Linux. Now, this is a Linux conference, so you don't really care about the other operating system, do you? So you do something like this. Now, this has been done by a friend of mine, and I know for sure that it works. Don't ask me why it works, I don't know. But I know that if you write these magic words, it will just reroute from port 3306 to port 4040, and you will get the expected results. Yes, you know how it works?
Yeah.
Good.
Well, the guy who wrote IPK was Walter Anton Holman here, so it's okay. he's an Aussie. 4040 is just a registered port, like official. Is it in the service list? 3306 is officially registered with IANA.
Yeah.
4040, is it?
No, it's not.
Because we had that debate about Microsoft Plus a long ago, and we actually got registered.
Okay, no, sorry. The correct answer is, I don't know.
Okay, I'll ask Jan and get it.
Yeah, Jan knows for sure. And you can undo that with changing -i with -d. And what was the question?
Yeah,
I was just going to make a comment that if you do that, it's just having to hate you, because it will be very possible to do that.
Yeah, I know, but if you are the admin, you can do it. I mean, you need to have some admin privileges to do this.
Oh, sure. So,
yeah, you, at least you have to be friends with the admin. I really don't know. It's not exactly my field. Yeah. But you know, for as many other things, there are many ways of doing the same, achieving the same result. So if you if you change the port using this kind of trick, you can just use MySQL server through a proxy, and the client doesn't know anything about that. So it means that any existing application can work through the proxy, and you can log what's happening with a difficult to debug application. And this is much better than the general log, because using the proxy, you know not only what the client is sending, but also what the server is sending back. What more can you do with proxy? You can, what I have said so far is just the beginning. I mean, this is what you can do for data warehousing and for increasing features, to create new features, to tune the system, and so on. But the real power of proxy comes from replication duties. Now, you know, if you are using replication, you have to change your application. Your application, when you use only one server, sends everything to the server, and that's fine. If you are using replication, your program must send the writes to the master and the reads to the slaves. If your application is modular, you can do that easily. If your application was not written with modularity in mind, this is kind of a problem. So you can use a proxy to overcome this problem. Now, this is very much alpha. There is a script that is called read-write splitting that is shipped with proxy, and it kind of works. I know there are a few limitations. For instance, if you have user variables, it doesn't work. If you have select some function that does inserts it kind of screws up everything. However, for normal SQL statements, it works fine. And I know at least two clients that are using this in production. Now, I told them not to do that, but, you know, customer is always right, so they are using it. And so far, it's good. There is always the possibility of side effects, so be aware of that. You can use it, you can test it, send bug reports to the MySQL bugs system, but be aware that this is not final. We are working on something more final, but it will take time. So now we were supposed to have some live examples, but I'm afraid that it's lunchtime. I mean, if you want, we can. Good. Okay, so this was the languages. So I say hello, and it answers. Can you read it? Louder, please. Okay, louder means okay.
You really have too much time, don't you?
Nah, come on. This is really, really easy.
I know it is, but still.
Okay. Now, let's do loops. That is more interesting. Okay. Oh, too many tables here. If I want to create 10 tables at once, I can do this. For with one command, I created 10 tables. Excuse me? Yes, I can, even though it will take time, but it's in the forge.
I do have to run after lunch. 1:30, we are back here.
It will take too much time to explain this, but basically it has one regular expression to catch the query, and then it will use the information in the query to run the query several times, as many times as you said in the command. So you can do two kind of loops here. One loop that is just a counter, or something that is more complicated. For A, B, C, select. You see, you have one special loop. Instead of having a counter, you define three variables, And then the query is executed with each variable every time. Now I have a bunch of cool examples here. For instance, do you know cross tables, pivot tables, something that you do in Excel? You can do that with proxy. And also this is available as a in the subversion 3. Look at the MySQL Forge wiki, look for proxy there, and you have all the information. Okay, select the star from all personnel. This is the raw data. You know, pivot tables are peculiar statistical tables where you can do summarizing in rows and columns. And you can do that with proxy. Xtab help will tell you what you can do. And then Xtab all personnel. Row field is country, gender, and some salary. And here you are. Or you can do the opposite. Gender, count. So you can just play with proxy almost any way you want. So after that, I have some plans, like coming back home, and it's going to be a long way. And that's it. Catch me in the corridor if you want to talk about that. I will be glad to answer your questions.
You were saying when you were working with the query queue that your read script has generated three different queries.
Yes.
Put them in the queue, and we pick one in the end and send it back to the user. From what you said, it's all one at a time. Proxy starts with the first query, it processes the response for that, decide what to do with it, then it fires off the second query after that, so it's all synchronous. Yeah?
Yes.
Is there any possibility, have you given any thought, to do it asynchronously? So perhaps I could use proxying to split out, if I recognize some standard big query, across partitioned servers?
This is in the roadmap, and is kind of tricky, so it's not something that we have done so far.
Yep.
But you know, the cross tab is one example of using the query queue in a peculiar way.
Yes.
So you know, if you know how cross tab works, you know that you cannot run that with one single query. You need to run at least two queries for that. So one query is to get the values of the columns, and another query to run the cross tab.
So I've used cross tabs, but I've never thought about how they work under the covers.
So the proxy does exactly this. You send the fake query, that is Xtab that doesn't exist in SQL, and the proxy runs a query to get the values of the columns. After that, it builds the final query, executes it, and then it gives back the client the final result.
Okay. When you're running more than one proxy, sort of proxy chain, are they running in separate processes?
We are running separate processes, yes.
And sure. What's the communication from one proxy to the next, sort of pipe?
Oh, no, it's just that you have to point the one each proxy to point at the port of the other.
Okay, so you've got the overhead of doing that.
Yeah.
You can say while you're operating.
So you say the first proxy is running on port 5000.
Yes.
Then the second proxy will say, instead of looking at port 3306, look at port 5000.
Yep.
as your input.
Yep, I understand.
And so on.
Yep, okay, thanks. Is there any possibility of using other database backends?
Yes, it is.
You've been using plain ANSI SQL, but...
I have done that with a different proxy.
Mm-hmm.
There is a proxy written in Perl, and it's kind of easier to use for this purpose because Perl uses the DBI, which is a standard that I'm more familiar with. There is the same standard for Lua SQL, that you can do the same thing, but it's not as stable as the DBI. So Lua SQL supports only three or four databases, and it doesn't run smoothly in all operating systems.
Okay.
But you can do it. Theoretically, yeah.
I was just thinking about the possibilities. Not in particular, but things like the crosstab. I mean, you might have a product where we'll do the crosstab with your backend. We don't care what it is.
Yeah.
That's sort of a possibility where the backend doesn't really matter all that much. You're doing a transformation.
Yeah, I saw comments on the mailing list PostgreSQL where someone said, "Is this cool MySQL proxy? Do we have something like that?" And then the comments initially were, "No, why would we want something like that?"
Yeah.
And then all these ideas. Maybe we could use that actually.
If you look at the articles in the dev zone, MySQL, there is one article called MySQL as Universal Server, and there is one query with a joint between SQLite and Postgres from a MySQL client.
Yep.
So theoretically, it can be done. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was done in Perl. You can do that with Lua, but it won't work in all operating systems smoothly. This is why I have not publicized it yet.
Okay.
So I should work with the Lua SQL people to make the interface more cross-platform, but so far I haven't had time.
How much of it is Lua? I mean, how dependent is the whole idea on that one language? Put it another way. Would it be possible, would it be possible version 2 to say, here's the proxy, you can slide in Lua, JavaScript, any other language?
If someone else had the idea to write it.
I mean, why not? You can do it. The problem is that Lua is easier to use than having has been designed to be embedded.
Yep.
Meaning that if you want to communicate between the main program, the core program, and the script, you have already provision for that.
Yep.
If you want to do the same things in Perl, you have to look at the manual, and there are many places where you have to back and forth to do the same thing, but in Lua is very easy and simple.
Just an example, Dave Packard, who's talking here during this week, the Intel graphics dude, he's got an embedded C. It's almost C, but it's very small and it's designed to be embedded. I'm not sure how good a fit that would be, but it's just you know.
I think now if you want to do in C, it's easy. I mean, you don't have to do anything. I mean, it's easy for the developer.
Mm.
But for the user, it would be a nightmare.
Yeah,
I mean, I can do C, but how many people can do a good program in C? You can learn Lua in 1 week. I did.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't know Lua before June 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of Lua before.
Yeah.
So Lua can be learned in 1 week, but C, no.
Yeah, fair enough.
C is a lifetime.
Thanks very much, guys.
You're welcome.